Conversations That Matter is a partner program for the Center for Dialogue at Simon Fraser University. The production of this program is made possible thanks to the support of the following and viewers like you.
Does my child have ADHD? If your child is clinically diagnosed, then what? Do you put them on a drug regime? Or do you do as our guest, nutritionist and mom Karen Ryan, did? Do you change their diet and avoid medication? Karen Ryan, welcome.
Thank you.
ADHD, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big problem.
It is.
And it's one that you've experienced up close and personal.
Yes.
Tell me about your journey with ADHD.
Okay. 11 years ago, my son was 7, or 10 and a half years ago, and he was diagnosed with ADHD. We knew he had it. We knew since the age of 3, everybody kept bugging us to have him tested for it. We kept saying, no, we're not going to do anything about it until it actually affects his education and his ability to learn. And sure enough, in grade 2, his teacher sat down with me diplomatically and said, look, we need to address this. You know there's an issue. Why don't we talk openly about it? Let's have them tested, because if we have them tested, then there are things we can incorporate into the classroom so we have success going forward. So I said, okay, sure. Went through the Children's Mental Health ADHD clinic, had him tested. Sure enough, he's off the charts. And they said,
well, what are the telling signs that make you say, okay, my child has ADHD?
Could never sit still, ever. We were getting kicked out of restaurants. We were getting kicked out of stores.
Like actually asked to leave?
Yeah. Impulsivity. You know, he would like pick up the pen and then whip it across the room, just blurt things out without even thinking. Just really not able to sit still, very much in your face, really wanted to be liked by other people. Just couldn't focus on any kind of task at hand at all, unless it was something like a Game Boy, you know, then the hyper-focus would come in. So there was hyper-focus, which a lot of the time can be very good for an ADHDer, but sometimes it's a negative thing because they're hyper-focused on kind of the wrong things.
Okay, so you suspect this, but you go and get the diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
How does being told that what you suspected is real, how does that affect you?
So the first time I heard it was a really tough pill to swallow. And the reason I say that is because at the time, I didn't know a lot about it. My husband didn't know a lot about it. It wasn't talked as openly as it was back then. It wasn't as prevalent, say 10 years ago, as it is today. But the thing that bugged me the most was they said, there's only one thing you can do. You need to medicate him. You have to medicate him.
You were given one option.
One option. And I said, is medication the only option? And they said, it's the best option. And I said, okay, well, how safe is it? It's safer than aspirin.
That was the comeback.
It's safer than aspirin. Okay.
Yeah, and?
And, okay, so put him on the first medication, which is a stimulant, so it's very fast acting. It kicks in within 20 minutes. And while, yes, it did help with focus, and he wasn't as hyperactive or impulsive, he wasn't able to sleep, he wasn't able to eat, and he said he felt twitchy on the inside. So in my eyes, no, that was not a good fit. It was not a good fit. Teachers thought it was a good fit, but I'm sorry, my child's health came first, and I did not feel that it was a good fit.
So they thought it was a good fit because now they didn't have to deal with him
exactly.
Having erratic behavioral outbursts.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I talked to his doctor at Children's Hospital, and she said, okay, let's try a different one. Well, that was, he basically just sat like a zombie the entire time in class, and even the teacher agreed, definitely not a good fit.
Because he became almost semi-comatose.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And we only tried it for 2 days, and that was enough, right? And so the last medication they tried, they said, well, we know that your son has a lot of anxiety issues, because with ADHD comes a lot of comorbid conditions such as anxiety, depression, that sort of thing. So he had a very anxious nature about him. He did and still does struggle severely with anxiety. So they said, let's try a non-stimulant. I said, okay, we'll give it a shot.
So the first two were stimulants, and this is a non-stimulant.
This is a non-stimulant. So with a non-stimulant, it takes 4 to 6 weeks to kick in.
So you're taking it all that time before you start to see any kind of effect?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a long time to take a medication and not know what the outcome is going to be.
I know. And I feel like an idiot for giving it to him. And I tell you, I kick myself every day.
Why? What happened?
Well, at the 5 week mark, I woke up in the middle of the night because the house was unusually cold. And I'm really sensitive to hot and cold and couldn't figure out why the house was really cold. And I kind of figured that our cat had pushed the front door open. He had done that in the past. So I checked, front door was closed, back door was closed. Checked the kids' rooms that were just upstairs, and they always slept with their doors open. And there was my son sitting on the bedroom ledge window.
On the window
on
ledge.
On the window ledge.
And like feet hanging out?
One out, one in. And I said he was seven. Seven years old.
And how high up is this?
Second floor.
Oh!
Yeah. Second floor. And I said, buddy, what's going on? Because I knew if I sort of said, oh my God, what's going on? He could have fallen, right?
He could have
right?
panicked or
exactly.
been startled.
So I just said, hey, what's going on? And he said, I don't know. I said, why are you sitting there? Do you want to talk about it? And he said, yeah, okay. He goes, I'll just stay here though. I said, okay, that's okay. Do you want to just hold my hand? And he said, yeah, I'll hold your hand. And I said, what's going on? And he said, well, he goes, I don't know, but I just know I don't want to be here anymore.
Ooh.
I don't want to be here. I don't want to be in this world anymore.
So you don't want to panic, but you don't want to overreact in that moment.
Exactly, because I need him to know that I'm his rock.
Oh my gosh.
And it doesn't matter what you tell me,
yeah.
I'm not going to overreact. I need to be your rock.
Yeah.
Right? So I basically got him off the window ledge, got him into bed, slept with him the whole night in the bed, of course. The next morning, my husband nailed the window shut, and I contacted his doctor, and I said, I explained to her what happened, and she said, oh, wow, that really was not a good fit. Why don't we take him off that, and we'll start him on something else right away.
Okay, so if it takes 5 weeks to start to feel the effect, how long does it take for that effect to taper off?
5 weeks. So
you're living on a razor's edge.
Yeah.
Through that whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And holy smokes.
Yeah. I was working at one of the local hospitals as a nutrition manager. And I said, you know what? I said, as much as I love my work here, I have to resign. I set up some really big fish to fry at home. And that's more important than anything in the world.
But so you went and took control of this yourself then?
Oh, yes. Well, when I talked to his doctor that very next day, she said, we'll take him off that and we'll try him on something else right away. And I said, I don't think so. Your services are no longer needed. And I hung up on her.
Because you need to advocate for your child, don't you?
Of course you do.
Yeah.
You have to. That's when Mother Bear kicks in. My God.
Yeah.
Right? So that's when my entire life changed. It completely changed. My entire life had to do not only with my son, but other kids around the world that were struggling with this issue. Why is medication the first option, right? Mm-hmm. And as a nutritionist, I knew there's got to be other ways of dealing with this.
So what did you learn?
Oh, I researched the crap out of it. You know, for lack of
deadly, that one, I'm going to science the crap out of this.
Well, yeah. I did. I learned that it's a multi-pronged syndrome. It really is. I don't really believe it's a disease or anything, but it is a multi-pronged syndrome, so it deserves a multi-pronged approach.
So what are some of those prongs? What are the issues that you need to start to address, and then how do you do that?
Nutrition. Oh, for sure. And I'm not just saying that as a nutritionist. I'm saying that as, you know, a consumer of food, because man has messed with our food system so badly now, right? First thing you need to do, you need to take away the food dyes, because even though kids with ADHD are, if they consume food dyes, it exacerbates the ADHD. kids or youth who don't have ADHD and consume food dyes, it makes them hyperactive. So they're not good for anybody.
So explain what a food dye is who's uncertain.
Well, a food dye is basically a dye that is put into food to make it look aesthetically better. An example would be cheese. Cheese should only ever be white. Orange cheese is not, that has food dye. You know, things like Kraft Dinner, candy, Kool-Aid, lots of, so many of the cereals, like it's everywhere.
You're talking processed foods.
Of course.
But doesn't that not happen with some fruits and vegetables as well?
That they put food dyes?
I've been told that, you know.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Like into the skins and whatnot to make it look just a little bit better.
Yeah.
I don't have that on authority, but yeah. I think I've heard that somewhere.
See, I don't think I've heard
and
that
so
before.
Holy smokes. I try and stay away from those processed foods that you're talking about. But food dye, there's a chemical reaction to it in the body.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Another thing, though, but talking about the fruits and vegetables, we'll just group them together, is, you know, pesticides and toxins, you know, the things that they're spraying on it. They have, scientific studies have shown that there's a huge correlation between that and ADHD. So
it's not just fruits and vegetables, it's a specific kind of fruit and vegetable.
Well, the ones that are being sprayed, okay?
Right.
So it's being able to read those little stickers that you get on your fruits and vegetables. So if it begins, if it's four digits and it begins with a four, you know it's been conventionally grown, you know, with the toxins and pesticides.
If it begins with a four?
If it begins with the number four. And also the number three, because they've run out of, So if it begins with the number three or four, and it's four digits, it has been conventionally grown using pesticides and toxins. If the sticker on the fruit or vegetable has five digits, and it begins with the number eight, it is GMO, genetically modified.
Oh, that's how you know.
Yeah. If it's five numbers and it begins with nine, then it's organic.
So you look for the number nine.
Of course.
Well, I think that I'm a reasonably savvy shopper when it comes to this. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, but I think we all should know that.
Yeah. Not just a parent of somebody who has ADHD.
No, but I think as consumers of food, we all should really know that.
So diet. What else?
Yeah, okay. Diet supplements are super important.
So, such as?
Okay. Omega-3s. Mm-hmm. We need those healthy fatty acids for the mind, right? We need to get those neurotransmitters kind of calmed down a little bit. Magnesium really helps with hyperactivity. Zinc, same thing. Iron levels are also really important. And also amino acid therapy is really coming into play here now too. We need to get some of the tryptophan going, and we need some of the L-tyrosine going, because when you take those two together, then it helps sort of balance out the neurotransmitters in the brain as well. And that's becoming hugely popular.
What about vitamin C?
Vitamin C is good for everybody.
Yeah.
Whether you have ADHD or not. So,
of course, you know that there are going to be people who listen to this and go, there's no evidence that supports the taking of supplements. You just pee it out. But, you know, I hear conflicting theories on that, and I tend to lean towards the, I'm going to take the supplements, thank
for
you,
sure.
Especially omega-3s.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, next.
Sleep is really important. Sleep is super important. If they're not sleeping properly, I mean, even if you don't get enough sleep, you're cranky the next day, you know, so you really, the sleep is super duper important. Magnesium really helps with that. So if they take it at night, or if they combine it with calcium, then they both work extremely well together. You can get a way much better night's sleep.
So one of the things that I understand about sleep and the effect on the brain is that when you sleep, one of the functions that happens is that you get to wash toxins out of the brain. And when you talk about dyes and other components of pre-processed foods and so on, I would imagine sleep becomes even more important if you've got a child or somebody that you live with who is affected by ADHD, because you want to get those toxins out of the brain.
Of course. It's also just they need to be in a sense of calm. Because they have a Ferrari brain, they do. They're in a Volkswagen body with a Ferrari brain. That's how Dr. Ed Halliwell mentions it or talks about it. they need some sort of calm in their life because they can't be go, 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 go all the time, right? So it's just a way to just calm everything down. Another really important factor as well is exercise. So exercise is like nature's Prozac, mm-hmm. right? It really gets the endorphins going. They've done scientific studies on exercise and ADHD, and as little as 20 minutes of cardiovascular exercise will give up to an hour of focus. So if your child comes home from school and they're bouncing off the walls and you know they have a little bit of homework to do, throw them outside with a soccer ball, get them to take the dog for a walk, whatever, just put them on a bike, have them come back half an hour later, and that is the perfect time for them to do their homework.
Okay. You're saying this is an alternative approach that mm-hmm. has worked for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot more work.
And a lot of other people.
Yeah, but it's a lot more work. And so it is, you have to be willing.
How is it really a lot more work?
Well,
your kid should be exercising anyway, regardless if they have ADHD. Your kid should be sleeping properly, regardless if they have ADHD. Your kid should be eating properly, regardless if they have ADHD or not. They should be taking vitamins anyway, right? How can it be more work?
Well, in the sense that it means that you have to be present and you have to be with your child in a way that hopefully we're all doing anyways, but mm-hmm. the demands of modern life prevent a lot of people from being able to do that easily, so they shortcut and they look for ways to save time so they can have a bit of their own time as well.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear some people saying, okay, I get it,
mm-hmm.
But it's going to cost me more money for food. I got to take more time shopping. I've got to prepare food in a more thoughtful and deliberate manner.
Mm-hmm.
All things that I advocate, mm-hmm. but I also recognize that it comes at the cost of time and that you can have some resistance from people who are going to go, okay. And then I'm uncertain, well, what's the outcome going to be? I'm only raising this because...
You know what? I totally get that. But
yeah.
What society needs to understand is there's no such thing as a magic pill. And what works for one person does not work for the other people.
Yes.
And you really need to educate before you medicate. And at what cost are you willing to give your child that pill? Are you willing to go and find your kid sitting on the bedroom ledge window? Is that really... You know, like, at what cost? Sorry to interrupt, but yeah. I would never, ever tell a parent, do not medicate your child. But what I'm saying is, talk to me. Send me an email or call me, and I will give you a mental toolbox, and you can exhaust everything out of that mental toolbox. And if that doesn't work, then by all means, go the route of medication. But just remember that it's a whole new ballgame when you go that route. So just try everything else first.
Exactly. So you led me right to my next point, which was you had to go and discover all this on your own. You didn't mm-hmm. have a whole lot of resources, but this has led you now to create those resources for other people.
Totally.
So you wrote this fabulous book, but now you are publishing a magazine. Tell me about the magazine and how it can help other people who are on the same journey that you are.
Okay, so the magazine is called Everyday Advice. So it's Advice ADD. Basically what we are a team of naturopaths, child psychologists, clinical and holistic nutritionists, education specialists, yoga therapists, and a few other people on the board as well. It is run by Canadians. It is written, the contributors are all Canadian, for the Canadian people. It is partially funded by the Canadian government. And the reason I am so overboard on this being Canadian is because we do not have a resource like this. It is not only a resource on ADHD, it is also a resource on any comorbidities that go along with ADHD, like anxiety, depression, any mental health issues, which is so prevalent today, especially among youth, where we have a huge disconnect in our country, and also anything to do with like learning disabilities or anything in the education field. There is no other magazine like this. It's only available online right now for the first 2 years.
What's the URL?
It's everydayadvice.com.
Okay.
Yeah. There is one in the States, a magazine very similar,
mm-hmm.
but it's very American-based. It's also very heavily funded by Big Pharma.
Whereas you're completely independent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and if somebody from Big Pharma were to say, hey, we'll give you $1 million to run an ad in your magazine, thanks, but no thanks. But we...
Because you want to retain that impartiality.
Yeah, for sure. Now, like, but the thing is, the magazine, like, we do honor the fact that people do take medication. And yeah, you know what? It does work for some people. And that's great. Sometimes
but it's about making informed choices.
Exactly.
Right? So let me wrap up here by asking you, okay, you're how many years into the journey with your son, and how's it going?
So, okay, so he's 17. He'll be 18 in March. He's graduating from high school, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we got him to grade 12 with high-level ADHD, plus learning disability, plus anxiety, just utilizing those things that I talked about before, is huge. Things are going quite well. He is a teenager, so we have teenage issues, but that's fine.
Right. Neurological maturation, so
for sure. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's going really well. I'm working with several other families, not only in British Columbia but across Canada, helping them, giving them all kinds of resources, and really, really working with them like one-on-one. It's a very individual for each person.
But he's healthy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and he's growing, and he's striving towards reaching his full potential.
Oh, for sure.
Because really, that's what we all want for our children, isn't
it? All we want is success, and we want happiness and love for them, right?
Yeah. So. Well, I applaud you with what you're doing, and I would hopefully make the natural choice the same way that you have, because I believe that it is a good way to live our lives.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Whether, as you pointed out, whether you're dealing with ADHD or trying to live a healthy life.
No, exactly.
So, thank you for putting this out. We'll put up a notification of the URL for your magazine so
awesome.
That people can find it.
Great.
Thanks for coming
Thanks
in and
so
doing
much,
this.
Thanks so much, Stu.
My pleasure.